In a world where comic book movies are everywhere.
In a world where that everywhere includes everywhere except Youngstown, Ohio.
In a world where one man decides to have a comic book convention in Youngstown, Ohio.
In a world that comic book convention is All-American.
And in a world where that All-American has special guests.
In a world where one of the guests is Daryl Banks.
In a world, another one of those guests is Rags Morales.
And in a world where the third guest is Arthur Sweden.
In a world where the fourth guest is Michael Golden.
And in a world where a special guest is Bob Layton. In a world where the date is July 8th and 9th at the Covelli Center.
Three men known as All of My Issues will be hosting Trivia with Prizes.
In a world where those three men will also be moderating a panel for Daryl Banks.
In a world where this all will be taking place at the Covelli Center, July 8th and 9th.
Live podcasts.
Special guests. Live streaming podcasts.
And all of our issues.
For all to see.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 36, we figure we would celebrate Independence Day, the 4th of July, by covering the best freedom fighters in comic books, movies, and other types of media. Oddly enough, Nazis came up in more than one of our topics, and you'll see what I'm talking about once we get there. So, without further ado, let's get started. Hello, I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Chris.
And today, we're going to talk about the best freedom fighters and comic books, movies, film, all that kind of stuff. But first off, we want to talk about the passing of a legend. The passing of the first Batman I ever knew.
Yeah.
And same here.
And the guy we're talking about is Adam West.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember watching those Batman shows as a child and really loving it. Not really knowing what I was watching, but just loving every minute of it.
Yeah. That was any day that I caught one of those episodes on TV. It was just a good day.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That beginning cartoon thing with the Batman. That's something I've shared with all of my kids. And
yeah.
Yeah.
The music was awesome. You know, everybody, you know, You can't think about that show. I don't think you can really think about Batman without thinking about that theme song.
No.
Really. But
that and the Catwomen.
And the Catwomen. Ooh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Catwomen, Sam.
Yeah. Or the kid.
Wow. Yeah.
Really? That's always Julie Newmar.
I was Julie Newmar too.
I'm not knocking Eartha Kitt in any way, shape, or form.
I just love the way she talked.
And meow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. She had the cat thing down.
She had it down.
Yeah.
I have to admit, though, I was more of a Julianne Moore fan, too, though.
But I was also looking for, you know, the shark repellent.
Yeah.
And that bomb scene.
The bomb scene is one of my
favorite movie scenes ever.
Yeah.
I do have a quick question.
Batusi.
Do you think Robin could literally take Kato?
Kato was played by Bruce Lee. No way.
I'm just like,
I mean, you can only suspend your beliefs so far.
I mean, I'm as big of a Burt Ward fan as anyone else. But it's funny, in the last podcast we recorded, we discussed how you had seen David Carradine at a convention and hadn't gotten anything from him.
I hadn't
had an experience like that, but I didn't go to the Comic-Con, but I didn't go to the Comic-Con, and Adam West was at the last one that I decided not to go to. Mm-hmm. Missed out on that opportunity.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to meet him twice. One time was pre-Family Guy, so he's definitely way more accessible, you know. Super nice guy, super approachable, super just really cool guy, actually, just had my picture taken with him, and all that kind of stuff. After Family Guy, still seemed to be really approachable, just definitely a lot more people to see him than before. But just always a really entertaining guy. I mean, he looks and acts exactly how you'd think he would. You know, sunglasses. Both times that I saw him, he was wearing sunglasses. You know, typical movie star type.
Right.
You know, it's almost like, you know, he went by the book as far as what a suit, like a, you know, movie star should wear. He wore it.
Yeah.
So, I don't
know. It's an iconic voice, too.
Yeah, definitely. And I know they were working on doing a reimagined Batman cartoon with him in it. Is it out?
And then the sequel is finished recorded before he passed away.
Did it really?
Okay.
That's cool. That's what I was kind of worried about.
They're doing Batman 66 comic books, too.
Yep.
And even in terms of animation, like, he guested on Batman the Animated Series. The old-timey superhero guy, and Batman talked about watching him as a kid on there.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And just recently, I was watching Chicken Little with my kids, and like towards the end, when they did the movie, the remake of the Chicken Little movie, he was, you know, the movie Chicken Little. I was like, hey, like that's Adam West. I was like, wow. Like, why did I realize that before? But yeah, so this.
And I love his portrayal of Mayor Adam West, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, perfectly named. Because I remember the first time I watched Family Guy, and they said, Mayor Adam West. And I'm like, I wonder if he's... And then as soon as he spoke, I'm like, holy crap, it is Adam West.
Someone said they really hope they don't mention anything on Family Guy at all.
Yeah.
But then it's just all of a sudden Mayor Burt Ward.
Oh, man, that would be pretty cool, actually. Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
Meanwhile.
Same bat time.
Same bat channel.
And then putting the bat signal up.
Oh, in LA.
Hollywood. Yeah.
That's
so cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is truly awesome.
Yeah, so... I know technically he wasn't the first person to portray Batman on the screen. He's the first one I ever saw. So
yeah, he's the first one I saw.
He's my first Batman. Too.
That's for sure. Yep.
Yes.
Fond memories.
So. Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace, and he will be missed by many. All right. Well, I guess we'll transition to our topics.
Yes.
All right.
So, as I said earlier, the topics are the best freedom fighters, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're going with.
Yep.
Should we define what a freedom fighter is before we get into the our lists, or do you think the list will define themselves?
Fights for freedom.
Freedom. So we're talking George Michael.
Now. Yeah,
he's on my list.
He's interesting.
Not my list of best freedom fighters. A different list. I won't discuss. All Oh, you guys automatically go to the worst possible places.
Yeah, you just got to have faith.
Could be that, yeah, for sure. It could just be that he's on my list of favorite pop stars from the 80s. You don't know. You jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
It's your own dirty minds.
He's got he's on my list of best facial hair, probably. Yeah. So, you know, yeah. It didn't really seem like he did too much with that facial hair, but finally groomed.
He just finally got up groomed and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, wake me up before you go.
Yeah. Give me a careless whisper to the ear. Wham. There you go.
There you go. Father figure to many.
Yes.
Till the end of time.
All right. Well,
that
was a really bizarre segue. An auspicious
beginning to our Freedom Fighters list. Yeah. So
and, was in honor of 4th of July coming up, right? So yeah. why not introduce that with George Michael?
Yes, why not? Talk about a British pop stars. We're just talking about people who kind of fought the man, the people in power, for the rights or the freedoms of themselves or others.
Fought against oppression!
Yes.
There you go!
In pop culture. Because we're not really going to be listing off the founding fathers or anything.
Yeah, it's not going to be. This is not that type of podcast. So, I guess
tradition holds that Sam shall begin the list.
The list.
I shall begin the list at number 5.
Number 5.
All right, my number 5 is from a movie in 2000. It came out in 2000. It's called Titan A.E. If you've listened to our podcast before, I've mentioned this movie. It starred Matt Damon, Bill Pullman, and Drew Barrymore. Basically, the alien entities, beings called the Drax, come and basically blow up the earth, leaving all basically humans to be refugees in space. All their space creatures are laughing at us. And it took one human to find what is called the Titan, which was a spaceship that his father had built before Earth had exploded, and which had the power to recreate a planet. And the Drex wanted to destroy that because they don't like Earth. So.
So would you call them Drex the Destroyers?
Possibly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Drex, yes. Yeah. That they were made of pure energy and whatever. And
were they green?
They weren't green. They were blue.
Oh.
They were blue. Da-da-dee-da-doo-da. Pure energy. Pure energy. 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 So a small band of humans and aliens search for the Titan ship and found it, and and the Drex set found it too, and so they big battle began, and the climax is, well, we have a new Earth named Bob. So that's my number 5.
Where's the AE come in? The AE comes
after Earth.
After Earth, yep. Yeah.
But like, is the whole movie? Because I've never seen this movie. Is it?
The Earth has been destroyed.
The Earth has been destroyed.
Did you get to see that happen? Or
yes,
that,
you do.
Because that's what I was.
Yeah,
that's what
the hero of the.
I don't know about you, but a movie is not a movie unless I can watch the Earth destroyed before we start. Yeah.
It was.
I mean, if it's going to be destroyed,
that's why I love America today. I feel like I'm just in the beginning of a movie.
Yeah, at the beginning, you see the ship Titan blast off of Earth, and you see other ships blasting off, including the ship where our hero is on, and his father, who designed the ship and made the ship, is still on Earth, but he does not escape as the Drax shoot their big, gigantic laser beam at it, and you see the Earth explode.
Gotcha. Because, everyone's favorite parts of Independence Day were,
The destruction, right?
Defeats the aliens. Yes, that's my favorite part, too.
Yeah, especially when he's like, welcome to Earth.
Yeah. And he punches that's everyone's favorite part. Not blowing up the White House and the Eiffel Tower and all that other stuff.
Not the destruction?
Man.
Never understood why did that particular building get destroyed. You're the tallest. We're going to blow you up.
It looks good.
Like, was that important building? No.
No. But there were people really excited to see him up top.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see the aliens.
With their glow sticks.
Oh, man. Did you guys see Independence Day 2?
We did see. Yes. I did, at least.
Yeah, I saw it, too.
Yes. Nope.
Yeah.
Wow, they're going to make one?
They
have made one. Someday, maybe. when that will, you know.
That's a list of films that I hope they make.
Yeah, I know. But I believe there's some fan fiction out there that may have, you know. Yeah. It really didn't fit the bill, though.
From what I understand, no fan of it would have made that movie. So.
Yeah.
All right, my number five, to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Famous rebel.
Yeah.
Or maybe we could take the other viewpoint. Famous terrorist. Blows up installations. Fights against the powers that be. Leads
fight the power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Leads
like the Che Guevara.
I was thinking more the Chuck D.
Chuck D, okay, fight the power, okay.
R2-D2 is his Flavor Flav. The little clock on him. Boy. That's to me, that's the cinematic pinnacle of a person fighting the oppression of an entire galaxy.
Yeah, the little guy.
The one man who could help bring down, because he just so happens to be the son of the second in command, I guess.
What are the chances? What are the chances? But now that's that is probably the epitome of that type of story, probably. Yeah. I agree.
So, not much to say about it because, we talk Star Wars a lot.
Yeah. All right. My number five is alive. This is to fight for freedom has to be wherever there's trouble.
G.I. Joe is there.
And no one's half the battle.
And especially if you're fighting Nazis. Right?
Yeah.
There's no more grand quest than to fight and to defeat Nazis. And, I don't know where I'm going with this, but everybody pretty much hates Nazis. That's pretty much the de facto.
Except other Nazis.
That's probably true. I don't know. But the rest of the world probably hates Nazis. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here. I don't know.
The Italians and Japanese seemed okay with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the Italians did change their mind, but, too late.
I don't know. I mean, that's a broad stroke there. I'm not saying that all Italians. I'm saying as a country.
As a country, yeah. That's true. The freedom fighters I'm talking about are, boy, I don't know where this is going. The happened to be Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos.
Yeah. Wow.
What's Sergeant Fury's first name?
It happens to be Nick.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, Nick Fury.
Fighting evil armies for decades.
For decades. And so Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. They first appeared in Sergeant Fury #1. And it was entitled 7 Against the Nazis. So
doesn't sound like good odds.
It doesn't sound like good odds.
Never tell them the odds.
That's right. That's just right.
Back to my first.
So, Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos. I mean, I think most people are familiar with the Nick Fury.
from the Avengers movies. I don't know how many people
are aware of the other incarnations.
The earlier.
Yeah, the Hasselhoff.
The vanilla versions.
Well, quick little side note here. Mm-hmm. The Nick Fury that we know now from the Avengers movies is actually the Nick Fury of the comic book's son. That's how they tie that in together.
Oh, what? Really? Yes. Really?
That is his son.
That's
fantastic.
That is fantastic.
I just assumed it was because the Ultimates made such an incredibly BA Nick Fury, and they look just
and
like
everyone Samuel loved Jackson. Exactly, yeah.
That initially was, but then
they retconned it into...
Well, actually, you know, when they took away the Ultimate Universe, then the Black Nick Fury came into the Earth 616, and it was explained that that is Nick Fury, the original that we as comic book people know, his son. Huh. And Nick Fury just found out that that was his son. And
so in a way, he's Nick Fury Jr.?
He is Nick Fury Jr., yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Mind blown right now. I like that they connected the two together.
They did.
He
is Nick Fury Jr., yes.
Huh.
That's a wonderful last name.
It is.
Nick Fury Jr.?
Just Fury.
Yeah.
I would love to have last name
Fury. Yeah. We should all change our last names to Fury. And we could call ourselves the Three Furies.
That's it for,
Wow, look at that.
That's weird, huh?
You're going classic.
Classic, I know.
Classic Greek right there.
That's right.
Because, you know, this. If we've proven anything from this podcast, it's that we're sophisticated.
It is.
So, Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos.
All right.
Nazi fighters. I did not see that coming.
I'm telling you.
All right, my number four.
You might start a minor furor over that. It's dead Nazi jokes.
I know.
You get the Heil out of here.
Sorry. Oh, man. I can't even. I'm just going to go on. All right. My number four comes from a movie back in 1987. And it is called Masters of the Universe. Which starred Dolph Lundgren and Courtney Cox. For those of you who are sitting there like, wait a minute, that sounds just like He-Man. And you are correct.
That's right.
So Masters of the Universe was the He-Man movie back in 1987. Why I picked this is because when watching the movie, He-Man and his band of rebels are facing Skeletor, who Skeletor has taken over He-Man's homeland. And so when He-Man and Man of Arms and the rest of them are teleported into our universe, Skeletor and his minions follow. And so a battle ensues. You got young Courtney Cox before Friends in it. And we get He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Before Friends, but after the Dancing in the Dark video.
That is true.
Aha! Yes.
So.
When I was a little kid, I didn't realize that was part of a music video. And so when I saw her later, probably in the Masters of the Universe movie, I was like, oh my gosh, that girl that got pulled on by stage by Bruce Springsteen is famous now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I did too. I was like,
it started her career.
I was like, oh wow.
I think actually the next time I might have seen her was in Family Ties.
Oh yeah, she did. So she did Family Ties. She was Michael Keaton's. No, is that his name? That's his name in the character, Michael.
That's the name of the actor.
No,
that's not even. Is that Alex P. Keaton?
Alex P. Keaton. Yeah.
I'm like, is that what's the character's name? It's Keaton.
Batman. Yeah.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean. I'm Batman. So. Great Scott, that was Masters of the Universe.
There you go. That was it. So wait, did you? Okay, cartoon or movie?
Oh, as for which one?
Yeah.
Like, which one do you prefer?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as a kid?
Yeah.
By far the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's more
as like an adult. That.
Yeah.
They're both pretty awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're not looking at it through the eyes of nostalgia,
yeah,
or watching He-Man singing "What's Going On," which if you've seen, have you seen that?
Oh, I think I have. Oh, this, yes.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Oh gosh,
what is that from?
It's YouTube. We've got a homework assignment.
It is pretty. Yeah, they're both pretty bad. I guess. Did you ever see they tried to revamp the cartoon?
I thought the revamp was a little better.
Yeah.
It was a little more realistic.
I actually kind of liked it too.
Because it's like, oh, hey, Prince Adam, you don't look like He-Man.
Yeah. when you go back and look at it in retrospect, you know, they're coming up with this toy line where the guy's like a barbarian. And he was probably trying to capitalize on Conan the Barbarian thing. It's around the same time frame or whatever. Giant muscular dude with a sword.
Yeah.
Trying to make that kid friendly. That's kind of hard.
Right.
You know? And what did they do? They just kind of made it as, you know, toned down as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many things that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
About any of it. Because they didn't have a plan when they were doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is nostalgia purposes. I absolutely loved
it. Oh, I did too. Yeah.
I just like the transformation sequence. Like when Battle Cat gets turned into Battle Cat. That's like my favorite part.
Mm. The loop that you see a million times when every voice show.
I have the power. Technically, you just took off your shirt. You're the same guy.
Yeah, I know. I said, like, it's a worse disguise than what Clark Kent has.
Right.
It's not even.
You just took off your shirt.
By the power of my bowl cut.
You know, to have a bowl cut hairstyle like that, you have to be pretty buff to get by with that.
Yeah.
I like the movie too, though. Really, it's bad too.
But I mean, it's fun to watch.
Oh, it is,
nostalgia purposes
for sure.
I haven't seen it, and
Gosh,
I don't even know the last time.
The only thing that gets me though is like when they made that movie. It's like you think, and I think that you know, it's essentially the same problem they had with the Super Mario Brothers movie. It's that they take the name. And they throw everything else away. We'll just do whatever. And that's it. And they made a movie. Yeah. It happened to be called Masters of the Universe with
He-Man.
Like World War Z.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It will include one thing in the same, zombies.
Yeah, zombies, yeah.
It won't be anything like the book.
No. And that could have been a cool movie book type thing where they could have just had segues from one type of zombie thing to another. That's what I think they should have done. But they're making a sequel to that, aren't they?
Yes, I think they are, yes.
Yeah.
Ratchet is on board.
Yeah. Directed by David Fincher.
What?
Really? Academy Award winning. Yeah, Brad Pitt talked David Fincher because they worked together on Seven. And
I wonder what that movie's going to be like.
I don't know.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Hopefully. No, I don't care.
You've got my attention now.
All right, so we're at four, right?
Four.
Number four.
My number four is the character V from V for Vendetta.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to go with the film version, so there's no confusion there. The 2005 film, which takes place in the year 2028, whenever, disease has spread across America and war and infighting, and this takes place all in England. And a tyrannical fascist government censoring.
Like 11 years from now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to. I'm going through my comic books at home, and I found the Iron Man, the futuristic Iron Man armor from 2020.
Oh, man. I remember that issue. Man. I was like,
oh, hey, look at that.
2020, that's crazy.
You're going to start working, Tony. You got 3 years. Yeah. But, so V appears entirely in a Guy Fawkes mask, begins a series of, again, what the people in control would call terrorist, style events. And he basically takes over a television station and broadcasts to the world that on November 5th at midnight that he would be blowing up Parliament. And
remember.
The 5th of November, the Gunpowder Treason and Plot.
Yeah.
I know of no reason the Gunpowder Treason should ever be forgot.
Ah! Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, he, kidnaps a girl and, Stockholm Syndrome and lots of things happen. But regardless, he does love his art and his music and he's fighting for the right reasons, right? So, kills a bunch of people, dies,
blows up. It's all the bad people, though, right?
Sends his mask out to the entire... the entire nation, everybody gets one, and then they get to choose whether or not they go out at night to fight against the armed soldiers, and they do, and it's pretty much a bloodless battle, because the soldiers decide not to fire on them, and they take back their country from evil. Yes.
Freedom! Yeah! V for Vendetta! I like the movie.
I love the movie.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are like, fans of the comic and versus the movie. I think the movie's great.
Yeah.
I think they're both individual things that are different enough from each other that I can enjoy both separately. But I do feel that they were close enough that if Alan Moore ever, felt like watching it, he could and shouldn't be totally offended. Because, man, he won't watch it.
Yeah. No, he won't watch... Watchmen either.
It's because of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to blame him for that one. That movie ruined Sean Connery's career.
Was it really that bad?
I don't think it was that bad, but it was that different from the source material that it was just like, it shouldn't have been called that.
Okay.
I think.
I don't even think that. I mean, it was all right.
That's what I thought.
It's okay. The source material is different, and I didn't feel they really needed to add Tom Sawyer as an American.
Yeah.
I mean, we just didn't need him. He wasn't in the source material at all, so they just did it so American audiences would have someone to root for.
But we had Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a lot of... In the actual comic book, Jekyll was a lot more rapey.
Yeah, that's true. It wouldn't have been as...
Yeah.
as accessible to people as... Yeah, because the whole... comic is much more depressing when you see all the heroes or characters are kind of at the end of their lives, basically. So, yeah, definitely not at their peak. All right. I guess we'll move on to my number four.
Yep.
My number four is John Connor.
Ah.
So he's kind of a character for
me. You finally saw that movie.
I did, yeah. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but...
No?
Yeah. I mean, at least one of them wasn't. I'm talking about Terminator Genisys. That movie's horrible. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
No.
But that pretty much destroyed... just don't watch that one, because...
I'm going to add that to the list of movies that I hope someday they make.
Yes. That is one that should be added, because I don't even know what they were thinking when they did that one. But anyways, I would like to think more along the lines of thinking of John Connor as either being the character from Terminator 2 called John Connor or the Terminator Salvation John Connor. Those, the Christian Bale and Edward Furlong versions of John Connor.
Not the Rise of the Machines with T3.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either. He's okay.
He's all right.
No, he wasn't. But, I'm sure he's a great human being, but he wasn't a great John Connor.
He
looked like the sidekick vampire from Fright Night.
that's
Evil true. Eddie.
Yeah.
And
he wasn't disturbing behavior.
Yeah. And I like Nick Stahl as an actor.
That's what I said. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Yeah. He's not
a fine actor. It's just, they put him,
bad. Yeah. Bad casting in that one, I think. Yeah. But I know a lot of people aren't too big of fans of Terminator Salvation with Christian Bale.
I thought it was all right.
I liked it. Yeah.
thought it was all right. I mean, it wasn't great. I thought it was all amazing. Right. Yeah. And T2 was great, but it wasn't because of Edward Furlong for
crying out loud. No.
He was kind of a whiny little.
It's more along the lines of this. I think Connor. That was kind of the
Like, man up!
Yeah, man up!
I want you to act like a man!
But yeah, nah, those two I think
are. I don't know if you noticed this, Sam, but today I've just called his pick a bitch.
Oh, man, you did!
I did.
That's all right.
Not in a sexist kind of way.
No.
Like in a female dog kind of way.
Oh, wow.
A little whiny and whimper.
There you go.
Yeah. But he grew up to be Christian Bale.
He did grow up to be Christian.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, good for you. I was thinking of mentioning that.
Every time I think of him, I just think of that. I have that phone bit on my
On
my phone. Or that bit on my phone.
The guy has one job. But, I don't know what they're going to do to retcon that whole franchise, but I think it's possible.
Start over.
Yeah, start over.
Well, if they do it right, then they should contact the people who do X-Men so they can take notes.
Take notes on how to retcon things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reboot stuff.
Yeah. Time is of the essence.
Yeah. So, yeah, John Connor.
Nice. All right, number three. My number three is the Justice League International. And the storyline that I'm going to be referring to is Generation Loss, which came out, the issues came out starting in 2010. The members of the Justice League at this particular point in time was Booster Gold, Fire, Captain Atom, Blue Beetle, and Rocket Red. And
Guy Gardner?
There was not Guy Gardner. He wasn't a member. He was in a few issues, but he was not the original members of this particular endeavor. The reason why I picked this storyline was because what happened was this event came after Brightest Day, which Brightest Day came after Darkest Night, where the Black Lanterns were bringing people, dead superheroes, back to life and causing havoc. It was DC's version of zombies. And then Brightest Day were bringing people back who had died. And one of those characters was Maxwell Lord. If you don't know who Maxwell Lord is, in comics, he was in charge of of the Justice League for a little bit. And he also had the power of telepathy. But he was letting that power corrupt him. And he went kind of mad. So he was manipulating events to basically have an all-out superhero war. And he was some of the heinous things he did was he killed Blue Beetle number 2.
Shot him right in the head.
Shot him right in the head.
Brutal. After the only good Blue Beetle story to come out in 40 years. I know. Yeah. I was reading that thinking, oh man, they're finally making me care about Blue Beetle. Yes. And then you're like, they shot him in the head.
Shot him right in the head.
Oh yeah. Man. And now I think those people write for The Walking Dead.
Yeah. and so he did that and tried to manipulate the Justice League even more and end up getting his neck snapped by Wonder Woman. So fast forward to Generations Lost. Somehow after Brightest Day, Maxwell Lord was resurrected, and the first thing he did was find a machine powerful enough.
A resurrected Blue Beetle and shot him in the head.
Relive this painful moment.
First thing he did was find a machine powerful enough to amplify his psychic power and caused everyone in the world to forget that he ever existed, except for
the members that I mentioned: Fire, Ice, Blue Beetle number 3, Booster Gold, and Captain Atom. So when Booster Gold figures this out and says, hey, Max Lord is still alive, what the heck, and goes to investigate, he gets his group of friends, and first they tried to convince everyone else on the Justice League, first Superman. Superman didn't believe him because Superman didn't recognize him. And so it's up to them to stop Maxwell Lord. And throughout this confrontation, it gets very difficult. Finds out that Maxwell wants to start another superhero civil war and genocide. And they go and try and stop him. So it's kind of like they're kind of like the B and C list of superheroes. So you're kind of like, especially like Booster Gold, as most of the superheroes community think he's like a joke. But they prove to be able to at least stop him. It's a pretty good read. He technically wins, but it does not create a superhero Armageddon, but they do stop him. So that is my number 3, Justice League Generation Lost.
Gotcha. So I got to ask you this question. Okay. Blue Beetle. The old school Blue Beetle or the new one?
It is the new one. It is...
No, which one do you like better?
You know what?
Because they're different, you know.
The scribe, with the
we're saying alien. 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, well, that
the nobody thing
that,
knows the one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was more back when it was like through. A Charleston comics, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have Wikipedia at my head.
I think as far as character wise, I like
Ted Kord or
Ted. I like him, but as far as power wise, I like the new Blue Beetle.
Jaime Reyes.
That's right.
Yeah, I
haven't read a lot of issues with the new guy.
I haven't either. Most of my
cartoons.
Exactly. That's most of my knowledge for the new one is from the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon. I used to watch that with my son when it was coming out. And I thought that was a highly underrated.
That Music Meister episode was catchy.
Yeah.
I'll get out.
Oh man.
See it?
I did not see it.
Oh man!
It was a very fun incarnation of Batman.
Patrick Harris was the Music Meister.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Interesting.
Gentleman Ghost was like a reoccurring villain on there as well on that show.
Gentleman Ghost.
Yeah, and it just like they took like all the like really kind of, you know, left of center villains, I guess, and just really, you know, kind of. Capitalize on those. It was a fun show.
That's all I have about Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle, the Ted Kord, is actually one of my friend's favorite heroes, and I could never figure out why.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny because it's one of our friends' favorite heroes too. And we were like, and when he died, we couldn't do anything but laugh.
I thought you met your friend at first.
Oh no.
Because you were like, it was one of our friend's favorite heroes too.
And then he died.
And then when he died, all we could do was laugh. I'm like, oh gosh, you guys.
Well, I was talking about the destruction of the earth. And okay. I'm not going to get that dark, but
wow.
Yeah. No, because he used to go on and on about Blue Beetle, and we're like, hey, did you read that? What happened? And then he read it and he was like, oh, this is really good. And then he got to the end.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
He's also a Manhunter fan, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I always make fun of him.
But Blue Beetle's like one of the ones. Like, yeah. They're kind of saying it's like for somebody to say that that's their favorite.
Well, it's just weird because he's a poor man's Batman in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, not that he's not a rich character, but.
The thing is, I'm just like really surprised how he survived Doomsday.
how
everyone else has super. How in the world did you survive an attack on Doomsday?
Yeah. All right. My number 3, freedom fighter, fighting for freedom.
Fighting oppression, for freedom. Oppression.
Against right. oppression. Tyler Durden.
Tyler Durden?
What? Fight Club, 1999. Uh-huh. It's a different kind of oppression. It's the oppression of society and the roles of masculinity. And what doesn't start as a movie about that becomes once the Fight Club makes a transition from a place where a bunch of people meet and fight to it transitions to Project Mayhem, and he becomes more of a religious type leader. And he his great plan, whether you're talking book or movie, in the movie, his great plan is to destroy the buildings that contain the credit computers that have all of the credit card history of every person in the world, so that everybody starts new with no debt to the society.
Hit the reset button.
Hit the reset button.
Nice.
In the book, he wants to blow up he wants to cause a tall building to collapse onto the Museum of Natural History, because the world belongs to the present, not the past. It's a very different type of thing.
Oh, so, yeah, I didn't realize it was that different.
Wow. Yeah.
I always assumed that they were pretty similar.
Up until this point, it is one of the most faithful adaptions to a book I've ever seen. And the ending is slightly different. Spoilers. The ending, obviously, of the movie, he sits and watches the buildings collapse because it's too late, but he shot himself in the head to get rid of Tyler. I believe he shoots himself in the head again, or he does, to get rid of Tyler in the book. But when he wakes up, he thinks he's in heaven at first because everything is white and all he sees is white. And it starts talking about the angels, I think, coming to visit him or whatever. And then you realize that he's actually talking about a hospital and the orderlies are coming in.
Okay.
And he thinks everything is all right. And then one of the orderlies says to him something along the lines of, "It's okay, sir. Everything is going as we planned."
That's kind of a
past him at this point, or he might still be Tyler. You don't know. Probably do in the comic book sequel that I haven't read.
Oh,
Chuck Palahniuk did a.
I didn't even know that they did.
He did a Fight Club comic book.
Really?
Graphic novels, I think. Anyway, he is fighting against now I'm not saying necessarily. Everybody would agree that that was an oppressive state of being, but he's fighting against the oppression of society the only way he knows how, by creating split personalities and punching himself a lot.
And making soap.
Yeah. That's a really enjoyable movie, though. I didn't realize the ending of the book was so different. I think I kind of like what it says about capitalism kind of at the end of the movie, more so, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's in there.
I would love all the credit card companies we destroy. No, not really.
Just the records.
Just the records, yes. Nobody hurt, please.
Nobody hurt.
Well, they did it at night, so nobody hurt.
That's true. They did kind of do that, yeah.
So yeah. The security guard, but I think they were in Fight Club, so.
Yeah,
they were all in on it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty entertaining movie.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
This is Your Life and It's Ending One Moment.
Yes. Meatloaf. Who would you fight? William Shatner.
You.
Abraham Lincoln. Just have a button that said, "I want you to hit me as hard as you can," and I would wear it on my jacket. A lot of people took me up on that. You'd be surprised.
Wow.
If you walk in, like,
ow. Oh, what are you doing?
I asked for it. Not like, it wasn't like everywhere I went or anything. Yeah. Just every once in a while someone would punch you and be like, haha, button.
Say, I got it. I get the reference.
That's a good one.
All right. Again, what are we on? Number three. My number three. I was thinking about revolutionaries, if you will, that I would want to follow. People that, that I want to get behind and be like, hey, I'll help you do whatever. And you're right. But also not George Michael. I'm talking about Roddy Piper.
Oh.
Playing the character Nada in the movie They Live. Thinking just one guy that kind of like went against, you know, it was more than one guy, I guess. You know, he had help from other people, but he kind of discovered the alien thing, tried to convince other people, and kind of went against, you know, a whole army of aliens. And, you know, gave his life to reveal the aliens to the entire Earth, we're assuming. And, you know, he gave his life to the cause. And so I think when I think of freedom fighters, there's no, you know, if they're going to believe in their cause, they're going to go as far as to give their life to that cause.
Yeah.
So there you go. Nada.
He came here.
Chew bubblegum.
And kick ass.
That's right.
He was all out of bubblegum.
All out of bubblegum.
It's a fantastic choice.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I love that movie.
Yeah. That's, I remember watching the movie. I rented it on VHS and I didn't really know too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard some people mention it. I remember watching it with my friends and it was like a Friday, Saturday night watching it and just really enjoying that movie. Like our minds being blown by the whole sunglass
thing. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, oh man, it's great.
Side note.
Yes.
With your They Live and My Masters of the Universe, they are connected.
They're connected?
Yes, they are.
Do tell, Sam.
The actress named Meg Foster.
Oh, she's the Evil Lyn character,
she
right?
She plays Evil Lyn and Masters of the Universe.
That's right.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
And wow. She's also in They Live when she betrayed
That's
them.
Right. That's so. Right.
Well, now I want to connect one of mine. Hold on.
Man. I referred to her as the actress with the eyes.
Yes, because her eyes are a little bit weird.
Yeah, they're like
yeah.
bluish and they're like can pierce through anything.
Yeah.
But yes.
That's a good connection there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Take that, Kevin Bacon.
It's 1 degree of movie separation.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it in 2 degrees now.
2 degrees, all right.
Because I have to have two in there. Keith David. Who had the massive fight.
Yes, the memorable fight scene in They Live. That's been reenacted
several times.
Play the creepy, I guess you'd call him a John, I guess, in some way, in Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
With Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, I think of
and Jared Leto.
Okay.
And Jared Leto was Something Beautiful in Fight Club.
There you go. Look at that. There you go.
So,
full circle.
I have to go two spaces.
Maybe a little lopsided circle. Yeah. But you know, still the connections are there, people. So, yeah. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
On to you, Sam, for number four.
Number
what the H are you talking
or
about?
Or number
this is the two. Deuce.
This is the deuce.
Sorry.
Two and two are four. We're at the deuce.
The deuce.
The upper decker.
Upper decker. All right. My number two, a.k.a. the deuce, comes from the show Gravity Falls.
Oh, it's a good pick. Love it.
Gravity Falls premiered on Cartoon Network on June 15th, 2012. And their last episode was February 15th, 2016. And as you know, the Pine family, which is made up of Dipper and is Dipper.
Yeah, Grunkle Stan
and Mabel.
Mabel, yep.
And, you know, they were discovering weird and strange things that happened in the town of Gravity Falls. And end up, there is a super interdimensional being named Bill.
That's right.
And basically, it took like a 4-part episodes towards the end to fight Bill. Bill was trying to take over all dimensions, because was he from the second dimension or something?
He was like from a chaos dimension or something like that along those lines. Yeah.
So
bad news.
He's very bad news, and he's pretty insane. Yeah. But he's pretty funny too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, but I just enjoyed Gravity Falls, and I'm gonna be honest. I have to go back and watch basically the last episode because that's the only one.
Oh my gosh, Sam!
Every time I've tried to watch it, I've been interrupted because it's like, oh, it's on. I'm sitting there. Oh, look, you gotta do this, but it's still. So you know, I can't. I'm not 12, so I can't make the excuse.
Man. I know, man. Yeah.
I haven't watched every episode. Yeah, I've seen. I know what's going on in there, and some are great. But I just,
my son and I have watched that show. I don't know how many times. Probably way too many times.
The D&D ones.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one too. They have the Summerween episode. I'm fond of that one where they celebrate Halloween during the summer.
Oh,
instead of carving pumpkins, they carve watermelons.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's pretty awesome.
I think what's the one that like the when the rich people won't let the townspeople in and the curse.
Oh yeah. Oh man. That's a good one too. There's so many. That show. I really miss that show because that show, we'd watch it and then be like, oh, what's going on? And it was just, you know, borderline creepy enough to where, you know, it was entertaining to me.
Yes.
And, you know, the stories were sophisticated enough too, I think, to where it grabbed my attention as well. I liked how they put ciphers in each episode at the end of each episode. I don't know if you guys are
familiar
with that or not. Yeah. Yeah. So you could use different ciphers to decode the messages that they had at the end of each episode. They would flash a message up or a code for a brief period of time, and you have to go back and look at it and figure out which cipher, which decoding thing mechanism you'd have to use because they change it throughout the seasons to different. I know too much about
that's the way show. Too yeah. much. Way too much.
The creator's blood type is O negative.
Yeah. Well, the one cool thing they had, they actually had a Bill Cipher statue that they actually had a puzzle out, and they hid it out in Oregon somewhere, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And if you followed these clues, it would lead you to the geographic location of that Bill Cipher statue. It's kind of like similar to the statue that was at the end. Well, you haven't seen the last episode. That's at the end of the last episode.
Okay.
So a lot of people went through, found out, you know, deciphered all the clues, found the location, went there, got pictures of themselves there. And they finally ended up having to move it because I guess it was on somebody's property somehow. And there was some sort of dispute as to the location of it, who owned it or whatever. So I guess they moved it and they haven't at least thus far relocated it, but they've been talking about doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, love that show.
So you laid your deuce out there.
I laid down.
Yeah. Rick experienced the deuce. Yeah. Decided that wasn't enough. Need to get some hands on.
Add a little bit more to your deuce.
Had to get a little dirty with it.
Had to make that pile a little higher, if you will. And my son and I have cosplays as characters from that show.
Yes.
A couple of times now. So.
All right. That's why it's a good pick.
There you go. Excellent pick.
I think my deuce will be familiar to both of you.
Oh.
All right.
It's a gentleman fighting against. Well, listen, it's an average person who becomes special. His name is Emmett.
Oh!
Fighting against the power of Lord
this
Business.
This is a good pick, too.
In the Lego movie.
This is a good
pick.
That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You guys, that's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
The world he knows is in danger of being craggled.
Yeah.
Crazy glued.
Yeah.
Into never changing.
Yeah.
But because he has the piece of resistance.
That's awesome.
There are so many awesome things.
There is. That movie is, yeah. That's such a great movie.
Yes. Oh gosh, there's just so much good stuff because he has the piece of resistance, which just is, you know, a crazy glue cap. he has the power to stop it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say about it. It's just I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
Because everything is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything.
It was. It's such a subversive movie.
It is. It is.
Everybody behaving the same. And, yeah.
And it's funny, I think, because, you know, it's such a, you know, I think they could have gone a number of ways with that movie. You know, it basically being a huge advertisement for Lego.
Right.
There's a lot of commercialism there. But then they're kind of totally like almost poking fun at the commercialism in the movie, you know, going Lord Business. That's the villain in the whole movie. Yeah, it's, you know, it is a great, great movie.
All the master builders.
Yeah, all the master builders. Oh. Yeah. It was so good.
Loves the master builders.
Jonah Hill as Green Lantern and What's-His-Face as Superman.
What are the other items that he has? He has the like the staff of Q-Tip or something like that. Yeah.
I forget all of them. Yeah. They're fantastic.
Yep. That is awesome.
So.
Yeah.
That's the story of an everyman fighting against the power. A freedom fighter.
That is a fantastic pick. Fantastic pick.
Nice pick.
Fighting against Bad Cop.
Bad Cop, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bad Cop, good cop. Yeah.
You want some water?
Too bad.
Yeah, Liam Neeson is awesome in that role. All right, I guess my deuce is and I remember seeing this movie in a theater and thinking it's a pretty simple premise for the most part, but they added a lot of stuff to that world to make it more rich.
Okay.
And
like deuces.
Like deuces, exactly. Yeah. The more you add to it, the richer it gets.
Yeah.
The more aromatic it gets.
Yeah.
It gets more, you know.
But you can't eat just one.
Exactly. Right? Right? And in,
are we talking about eating deuces?
You might be, sicko. Where'd that go?
I don't know.
What just happened?
I don't know. What is this?
You just can't eat one.
This is a family podcast. Yeah, maybe, I mean, sort of.
Come on. I would never practice the art of caprophagia. And I would never explain why I know what caprophagia is.
All righty.
Do you want to actually know why I know what
to say? Yeah, I don't know. You kind of just brought the room. I don't know what to say.
I forget who it was. I think it's Cannibal Corpse. It's one of the death metal bands.
Oh, okay.
My friends and I used to say how funny it would be if they actually sang the lyrics to their songs as a, you know, happy-go-lucky song. And one of the lyrics was, human shit for nourishment, caprophagia, which is why we would do that. Well, I know what that means.
That actually kind of changes the whole song. Kind of, you know, yeah. All right. There we go.
Meanwhile, number two.
Back in Rick's deuce.
Yeah, it's my deuce. So in a world where humans in a fascist, militaristic future do battle with giant alien bugs. What movie am I talking about here, guys? Starship Troopers. Yes.
We're going to war, Johnny.
Johnny. I mean, there's a lot of good actors in this movie. Wow. Maybe some of them are questionably good. But we got the NPHs in it.
Yes.
Neil Patrick Harris. The Michael Ironside. Yes. I like that guy and everything he does for the most part. The Clancy Brown is also in it. Everyone's favorite Mr. Krabs. You know.
Yeah. The Kurgan. Who is the Kurgan? Where does he come from?
The Kurgan. Denise Richards is also in this. Jake Busey.
Denise Richards, everyone's second favorite wild thing.
Exactly right. And Casper Van Dien.
Oh my gosh, and she married Wild Thing. Charlie
Holy
Sheen.
Crap, that's weird.
Why did I never notice that before?
I know. Oh my gosh, that is...
Our mind just got blown. Yeah.
Has the rest of the world ever made this connection? I don't know. Wow. That is really kind of crazy.
Sometimes the universe gets lazy. I'm telling you, we live in a simulation. That's just an example of the program being lazy.
Right. That's like, yeah, okay, they're together for some reason. So, yeah, there's not a lot to say about that movie. I guess, you know, humans just fighting a bunch of bugs, bug aliens. I always thought that was one of the first, like, really cool CGI space films. And, yeah.
I'll be honest. I watched the movie once and hated it, so I never watched it again.
Really?
Though I'm told to rewatch it with the idea of being that it was purposefully that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would improve it, and I just never have.
See, I just thought of it as, like, a really kind of, like, low-bar action movie. Like, it wasn't really trying to do more than just being almost like a special effects, extravaganza.
And I looked at it even more differently. I'm like, they're Nazis.
They are. They're fascists. You know, it's like, the future where they're all fascists. And that's the funny thing I think about that.
So this movie makes you side with fascists?
Yeah, essentially. That's kind of like where, you know, they kind of go with it, I guess.
It had to be a...
We started this podcast by saying how there's nothing better than fighting Nazis, and now you're saying that we're joining them?
Ooh. No, I'm cheering for the bugs.
Okay.
Yeah, see, the bugs are far less... Yeah. Whoa! But I always thought that was a weird thing. That always seems to be, like, a tidbit in that film that's always, like, no one ever mentions that. They gloss over that. The thing that, like, oh, the human civilization, they all evolved into a fascist world.
Right.
And you're like, oh,
like, that's what? Not good. I kept seeing that. I'm like, this looks like one of those, World War II
propaganda films.
I think that's, like, part of the fun about it too, is that it kind of makes fun of that too, because of, like, a lot of the movies that get people to
I hate enlist. Bugs.
It's that type of thing where they're like, you know.
Yeah. You know, I recently watched that movie and I didn't realize Starship Troopers.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I still think it's kind of funny.
Okay, fair enough.
And I didn't realize the actor Seth Gillum, I may have spelled that wrong. G-I-L-L-I-M-A.
Galima?
Galima?
I don't know. I-M-A or I-A-M?
L-I-A-M.
Gilliam. Seth Gilliam, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that he was in Starship Troopers. I'm like, hey, what's the preacher in The Walking Dead doing in Starship Troopers?
Yeah. Who is he? Yeah, he's the preacher guy from Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never made that connection.
He is. And, you know, his famous last words, you know, Casper Van Dien's, he got wounded and he's shooting the bugs. It's like, Casper Van Dien's like, hey, are you trying to be a hero? Like, no, sir, I'm just trying to kill bugs. And he's just shooting out, and he's shooting, and then the nuke blows up. It blows up the tail. I was like, look at that. They're just killing brothers everywhere, but I'm like,
yeah, even in the future.
The Nazis are known for that.
That's true. That is true.
What the heck? You want to live forever? It's a fun movie to watch because I just like how Casper Van Dien is just a whole different.
I think the other entertaining thing.
The fact that you said his name twice indicates that that's probably two more times than anybody else.
Yes, including
his loved ones have said today.
But I think the fun thing about that movie is that there seems like there could be so much more plot to that movie than what there is.
Yeah.
You know, and they just ignore all that and just like, okay, we're just going to people shooting bugs. That's going to be the movie. And then that's it. Because like the Neil Patrick Harris character, when he goes away, you don't see what happens when he goes away. But when he comes back, he looks a little bit more, you know, like, bags under his eyes, a little bit more disturbed. Apparently some weird mind stuff going on.
Yeah. Because
you don't know.
Because he was a telepath.
Yeah.
He had
the
telepath ability. And so he helped Casper find.
But just like even finding out like what his storyline was to get him to where he was at in the film. that seemed like that would probably be pretty interesting to watch. But they're like totally sidebar that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just shoot bugs.
And that's it. And my guilty confession is I have seen the two sequels.
I have not seen the sequels. So. I've only seen the first one. I've heard the sequels are not very good, though.
So there was a sequel?
Two sequels.
And then another sequel.
Kathy Van Dien showed up in the second sequel, in the third sequel.
And you've seen them.
So does it add any more to the mythos of Starship Troopers?
Oh, well, let's see. The second one is basically Skinamax.
Okay, let me... All right. I'm going
to add that to my next. Because apparently the bugs have a little bug that's a brain bug.
Whoa.
That goes in and takes control of people. And so the troopers are stuck in an old base that's surrounded by bugs, and they're held up there because there is, I think, like one of the sky marshals. No, that's the third one. A traitor is there, and they're held up there because it was a trap or whatever. I don't know. But that's the second sequel. And then
tell me there's boobs.
There's a lot of boobs. Hmm. So
I wonder why they decided to go that route.
Well, we can't afford the animation, so let's
bring it. What did everybody like about the first one besides the bugs and the effects? There was boobs in it.
All right, the sequel is going to be Starship Poopers.
And then the third one is Casper Van Dien's character being part of this renegade group that has an exoskeleton machine to go rescue one of the Sky Marshals.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because apparently these movies, or at least the first one, is loosely based off of a book. That I guess the book is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I've never read the book, but...
I've never read that book by him.
Yeah.
They're rebooting the movie.
Who did the book?
Heinlein. Oh. Robert. Is Stranger in a Strange Land.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. But I've heard the book was really good. Yeah. You know, for totally different reasons than why the movie.
Because boobs.
But, how many pages is in the book? It's 1,000 pages of very descriptive descriptions of boobs.
Man, someone needs to write that book now.
Yeah, it's a bestseller.
Starship Troopers. All right.
Yes, Starship Troopers. That's it.
Ready for the
numero uno?
R. Kelly. Memorial. Number one.
My number one comes from the DC Universe. And it is Sergeant Rock. Yep, Sergeant Franklin Frank John Rock. His first appearance was Our Army at War. Issue 83 that came out in 1959. His group was the Easy Company, so it was always Sergeant Rock and Easy Company, and they fought in World War II where they fought Nazis.
Oh man, everybody hates the Nazis except for Rick.
I don't even know how to recover from that. Well, I mean, as long as they're fighting bugs, I mean, I guess it's just a win-win. Whoever
we should probably say that Rick stepped out of the room, and I'm only saying this so that I can say things about him that he won't know until he's listening to the podcast later.
He will never know.
He's a Nazi lover. Nazis everywhere. There's so much Nazi memorabilia. Littering the walls of his house.
Those opinions expressed by Chris Dunlap and Sam Stevens are not the reflections of allofmyissues.com.
In fact, we're actually chained in the basement. He's making us do a podcast where every so often we have to talk to monsters. It's coming. It's coming.
Sergeant Rock.
Is his first name Chris?
It's not Chris.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Talk about that casting.
They should do a movie. Sergeant Chris Rock.
If I could do a Chris Rock impression, I would right now, but I can't, so.
I'm trying to remember if I can do one. But Sergeant Rock, fought in World War II against the Nazis.
Nazis, you say?
And Nazis.
Oh, lots of Nazi talk.
You love it, don't you?
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good Nazi show or film? I don't know. Where you're fighting Nazis, though. That's the one. I want to make that abundantly clear.
Yes. The boy in the pajamas.
No one on this podcast would ever say anything different.
Nothing.
So that is my number one R. Kelly memorial. Sergeant
I just
Rock.
Want you to know, I probably would have laid the Nazi puns on a little thinner if I would have known that everybody's picking bold Nazis.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't read a lot of Sergeant Rock comics. I mean, a couple, but I haven't read a lot.
Yeah, I haven't read any.
He was original, right? I mean, he was old.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He was before Nick Fury.
Yeah, I always felt like Nick Fury was kind of a ripoff until they gave him S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Something completely
evolved the character a little bit.
And took his eye.
yeah, that's true, yeah. Sergeant Fury.
All right. Are we ready? Sergeant Rock.
I think we're ready.
My R. Kelly Memorial number one.
All right.
Pick for freedom fighters, and specifically, is a character that captured my imagination as a child. Mike Donovan from the television miniseries V.
Oh, interesting.
In 1983, I had a small black and white television in my room, and I had a bedtime of about 9 o'clock. Which did not allow me to watch V, the miniseries, unless I would secretly turn out the lights and watch it very, very quietly in my room, which I did.
Yes.
Nah.
That sounds familiar.
Hoping not to get caught. I mean, some people live their lives doing things they don't want to get caught from their parents. And I'm watching sci-fi series, and that's what I'm
That's what you're worried about.
You know, there's people smoking meth and doing all that stuff.
Watching sci-fi series.
I'm watching.
Under the covers.
So, V, the 83 miniseries, the story of 50 alien ships that show up hosting otherworldly people. And it's real. I'm honestly, it's a metaphor for
the Nazis. Yeah.
And I, for one, can say that...
And their Nazis were lizard people, too, right?
You know better than us.
Oh, my.
Meanwhile...
I'm sorry.
This podcast will be called the
Nazi podcast.
So anyway, so he was a reporter, photographer of some sort, who snuck on board a ship and realized that they were lizard people and helped them fight the resistance. In the second chapter, V, the final battle, who shows up and helps them? Michael Ironside.
Yeah. There's a connection with the
Starship Troopers, besides the Nazis.
Besides the Nazis.
So, and I, besides the fascism, I didn't want to say too much then, but I've always liked that character because of V. I didn't want to spoil my, number one pick. But yeah, I really loved it, and I did not like the remake that much.
That didn't last very long. No, remake, no. Yeah.
Who was your favorite alien? Mine was Freddy Krueger.
Oh yeah, he was in that. That's right.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember too much from that.
I remember the iconic scenes, and then the face peeling of the lizard people. Before they even show that, though, they show the lady like take a gerbil
and eat it.
And reverse
Richard Gere it. and eat it, and you could see it in her throat. It might have been a guinea pig. You could see it in her throat. And then I remember some dude like gets liquid nitrogen on his arm. Is like the door opens and one of the lizard people, like I think it's Willie, saves him. And then I remember the weirdest thing, and it might be from, I don't know if it's a television show, but there was that one dark haired lizard lady.
Okay, I'm thinking
the main lizard lady. She was in charge of everything. I don't know. Jane or something like that. Jane Badler. And all they have is current pictures, and she doesn't really look the same. But she was, because of there was a woman who got pregnant, an Earth woman who got pregnant with the spawn of a
lizard.
And she had twin babies, and one was like the lizard baby.
And then it dies
with a virus, and that's how they figure out how to defeat them. But the one that lives is captured by the aliens and lives with them, and she molts her skin and becomes suddenly like a 12-year-old girl. And then the main character is teaching her. And so I only remember.
Does she have a lizard tongue or something, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember something like that.
And she's built this thing out of blocks. And the lady just comes up and like knocks it over and goes, "Let this be a lesson that which you take pleasure in building, others will take pleasure in destroying," and walks away. And I don't know, that's the lesson I learned from life. So
wow,
and I find it's truer and truer
as you get older. I remember watching when that series was new. They had like a whole special about like the special effects on it, or how groundbreaking a lot of the stuff was. That was the face peeling of the lizard people and whatnot. That's probably the most memorable thing that I remember about is just the
prosthetics. It's not that great and
stuff like
that. I mean, it's not, but to
at the time,
third grade me or exactly, fourth grade me, I thought that was amazing
on network television. It's pretty impressive.
I loved sci-fi.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people talking about that show.
I read just recently that it was originally not supposed to involve aliens at all.
Really?
The actual original thing was it was supposed to be an adaptation of a novel that actually just talked about a fascism growing in America, like one strong group taking over and getting enough votes to become president or whatever, and that was what the original idea was. And then they were like, "No, make it about aliens instead."
Yep.
Interesting.
We have lasers.
Lasers and aliens.
Yeah. But I think it's ripe for a remake that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I think that story would be awesome. Yeah. I thought Independence Day looked like it was going to be a ripoff of it when I saw the first preview, because a big giant circular ship's coming down from it. I was like, what is this, V, the movie?
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I guess it could have gone that route.
Yeah.
Didn't, though. Totally didn't go that route.
They both killed them with viruses.
Yeah. One computer generated and... Yeah, they're more biological.
Yeah, there was a red powder in the air.
Is that what it was, red powder?
Yeah, they went out with crop dusters. It was dumb.
Isn't that how they killed Tom Cruise's?
The War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds is a virus, too. And H.G. Wells's is. And that's why Independence Day did it, was because of the original War of the Worlds.
But Mars Attacks!
Mars Attacks! Whatever those aliens made, that weird alien noise. So you had V the series and V for Vendetta.
Yeah,
I did. Bs. I had two Vs. Yeah,
two Vs.
That makes a W.
What?
For what?
And... All right. I guess more V? Yeah. V talk?
No. No? I mean, two S's might have been nicer for you, I guess.
Wow. Whoa! You know what? That's interesting enough because my last pick...
For Freedom Fighters, Adolf Hitler. For Freedom Fighters, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, man. Oh, come on. Oh, no, the my number one is a parody of World War II spy movies.
Okay.
Yes. Also, I believe this is the first film starring a young Val Kilmer playing the role of Nick Rivers. And the movie I'm talking about is Top Secret.
That's a fun movie.
That is a fun movie. I love this movie. Seen that movie. You've never seen this movie? Oh,
it's like Airplane. I mean, it's by the guys that made Airplane.
Okay. Yeah. And it's just a spoof on all those. So they have all these different resistance fighters in there. And
they have, they parody the best scenes. There's like, there's a, where they're crawling through the dirt, you know, or the grass. And suddenly they happen upon like the boots, like are right in front of your face.
Yeah.
And you're like it's in every movie where, oh my gosh. And they look up and it's just a pair of boots. There's nobody in them. And it's just.
Yeah, there's
because it's a World War II, making fun of World War II movies, but like it has rock and roll.
Yeah,
he's a rock and roll singer.
Yeah,
like in the '50s, none of it makes any sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't need to.
There's a fight scene that's amazing.
Like here's one of the lines in her. The one character goes, "What's wrong with him? Oh, he caught a cold last week. He's just a little horse," and they're looking at a.
Horse.
Little horse, yeah.
Wow,
so it's totally the airplane humor.
Yeah,
all that stuff. It's just, and but there's love that stuff. I don't know why they don't make
Pinto sitting there, and I don't remember what it is rolling down the hill at it.
Pinto's
had a history of like
exploding. Yeah,
there's just this. It rolls and comes to a stop like right here. It goes, ding, fireball. You know.
See, I love those movies that like that just are just ridiculous, but they're done so well. Like I think Airplane does it well.
Yeah,
I think this movie does it well.
Hot Shots. Especially Hot Shots Part 2, which I thought was better than the first one.
Yeah, I agree. But it just doesn't seem like people can really pull those off anymore. No. Like people try to do that.
After Scary Movie 1, I like Scary Movie 1.
Yeah, Scary Movie 1 was probably like one of the last good movies that kind of did that. Yeah,
parody.
Yeah.
There was genres. There was one that it was called Movie 42?
I haven't seen that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it has like Halle Berry and Dennis Quaid and like a lot of A-list actors in it.
Huh.
And it is like, it's kind of like the movie Fried Chicken. Is that the name of it?
Oh, Kentucky Fried Movie.
Kentucky Fried Movie, yeah. That's definitely kind of close. Yeah. It's kind of like
is that the one with the Amazon woman on the moon?
Yes. Yeah.
And the Loch Ness Monster?
Yes.
That Loch Ness Monster thing would have been the funniest thing I'd seen.
Yeah.
The look he gave. I don't know why. Oh, my gosh. I laughed so hard over that.
But, yeah. It's kind of like that. It has like some funny side storylines. You just got to go into it and be like, okay, I'm going to see something crazy.
I've heard it's like universally panned.
Yeah.
Is it really? Huh?
Yeah, it's universally panned.
That's too bad. But like, yeah, like those movies were like Airplane, I think, is probably the epitome of it, where there was always something going on. And even in the background, like if you're watching the background,
I should say this is not to be confused with the movie 42.
With Jackie Robinson.
Not about the Brooklyn Dodgers or anything, but okay.
It's a different movie.
Yeah, a different movie.
But yeah, those movies are, I think, you know, if done well, I think they're amazing.
Hilarious.
I think Airplane is hilarious. I could watch Airplane over and over again, I think.
Yes.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
And don't call me Shirley.
It's a movie that you quote constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I had to stop saying it, but at work I used to all the time, like, I picked a hell of a time to quit smoking, you know, whatever. I
was throwing. Yeah, picked the wrong time to quit stop sipping glue.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a little bit, In today's world, it's a little bit less appropriate for you to go, have you ever seen a grown man naked, Billy?
Yeah, you like gladiator films.
Oh, we can't forget, though. We can't forget Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is good,
too. Oh, yeah, Spaceballs is good.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Spaceballs.
A lot of the Mel Brooks movies, though, were to varying degrees good. I never liked the Robin Hood one, but a lot of people did.
There's one part that in the Robin Hood Men in Tights movie that I saw in the theater, just one part, I couldn't stop laughing. And I don't know if you know which part I'm talking about.
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Is it a chew jumping from one side to the next side?
No. Okay. It's at the end where the marriage thing is going on and the guy's going, Abbott. The one guy goes, "Hey, Abbott," and I could not stop laughing.
Really?
I thought that was the because, like, the rest of the movie for the most part was like, "Oh."
Why it was funny, but I just didn't like them. I didn't think it was that funny, you know. Yeah. I'm one of those people though that I don't really like Blazing Saddles all that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I want to try again. I haven't tried to watch it in a long time. You know.
See, the thing with Blazing Saddles, I think too, is that it's probably been hyped up so much now, too. Like, you kind of got to go into those movies with, like, a fresh pair of eyes and not expect a whole lot. And I think then you love it.
Mm. Some of the comedy classics, too, just give an example of Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
Caddyshack is absolutely hilarious to me, but I didn't think it was that funny the first time I watched it. Some parts of it I did, but overall, like, it became something quotable the more I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. No.
And then there's Caddyshack too.
Every time my kids ask for something, they'll be like, "Dad, I want a peanut butter sandwich and I want a snack," and I'll be like, "You'll get nothing and like it." They don't know, but they probably just think I'm mean. Ted Knight. That's what I'm known as, Ted Knight. And then you can't mini golf without being like, "Here he is, Cinderella story," you know?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Ready to win.
Who's go first? We'll make them go first. Oh, man.
But it's in the hole. Every time there's a hole. It's Cinderella story.
Yeah, Cinderella story. Those movies, like, they don't make really good comedies like those anymore, I don't think. It just doesn't seem like, I don't know.
I don't know the last comedic movie that I really laughed hysterically at.
I don't know either. I'm not sure.
I think the something particular. I have a guilty pleasure of liking Soul Plane and in the African American community that is frowned upon.
Oh, really?
It's like, how do you like
Soul Plane? Why is that frowned upon?
Because even the actors are like, it's like, "Dude, you were in Soul Plane." "Yeah, I know I was in Soul Plane." But to me, it is hilarious. Soul Plane is like hilarious to me. And I watch it as soon as it comes on. My wife's like, "Are you going to watch Soul Plane, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yes, I have to watch Soul Plane." Because it's basically kind of like Kevin Hart's first film that he was like basically the star in, and you didn't really know him. It wasn't until a few years later where
he became Kevin.
Hart, but you're just like, who's this guy who's talking like this and what you doing and that cadence as he talked. But I just think Soul Plane's hilarious. I mean, Snoop Dogg's funny.
I didn't realize Kevin Hart was in it. I knew Snoop Dogg was in it.
Yeah, Kevin Hart's in it. Method Man.
I remember the trailer with him in it. Yeah.
Method Man, Snoop Dogg, John Witherspoon is in it. D.L. Hughley, some more. Who else? Monique is in it. Sofia Vergara is in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was my first experience of her.
Now it's coming out.
That was my first experience. Tom Arnold is in it.
Tom Arnold's in
it? Yes.
Really?
It's just hilarious. It's a hilarious movie.
How old is this movie then? I remember seeing the trailers and everything. Let me see. I don't remember. It's
the early 2000s?
It's early 2000s.
It's got to be early 2000. Yeah, that sounds right.
I will say 2001.
2001.
Soul Plane.
A Soul Plane Odyssey.
But yeah, I can't really think of any other movies that I'm just like, man, that movie's so hilarious, I have to see it again.
2004, Soul Plane. Meanwhile,
at the Nazi cave.
Meanwhile, Jesse Owens is running in the Olympics. Man. Who's number one? Was this?
I was on V. I don't know.
Yeah, no, we're done.
We're done.
Yeah, yeah. We're done. I mean, yeah. I have nothing else to say about Top Secret except that it's funny and yeah.
So if we were going to talk about a theme of Rick's list,
let's see, ongoing theme.
Number, what was your number five again?
Number five, fighting Nazis, the Sergeant Fury and the Howling Seven, Commandos. Yes. Seven against Nazis. Against mm-hmm. the Nazis, yeah.
What was your number four?
Number four. That was John Connor.
John Connor.
And then They Live. I have a feeling you're trying to say that I have a Nazi theme going on here.
I would never say such a thing ever publicly. Want a couple also-rans?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I do not have any also-rans this time.
Let's see. You could have thrown any of the Star Wars people in there.
Yeah, that's
perfect. And the Rogue One people. Neo.
Neo, yeah. that's a good one. Yeah.
Katniss Everdeen. Dumbledore's army, specifically when they were meeting together, because the mean lady who was taking over Hogwarts wouldn't allow them to practice defense against the dark arts anymore. So they created their own secret club in order to fight against the powers of the bee. William Wallace, the Wolverines from Red Dawn, the crew of Serenity, and the Fellowship of the Ring.
The Fellowship of the Ring. All right, those are all good picks too.
Yeah,
those could have equally have been picked. I think.
Yeah, they could have.
Yes. So, I don't know. Is there anything else we want to wrap up with? We're all good. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess thanks for listening. Check us out at All My Issues on Twitter. Our
Facebook.
All My Issues.
Yeah.
.com.
There you go.
You won't find us on MySpace.
Yeah, we do not yet have a MySpace account.
We're working on that.
There you go. Alright.
And you can email us at
info@allofmyissues.com. Thanks for listening.
Alright. See ya. Bye.
Hey guys, I really like, you guys know me. I like geeky stuff. I like comic books.
What?
Oh yeah, movies, pop culture stuff, video games.
Not what? You.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Say it ain't so.
I know, but you know what the problem I have? I have a problem finding out how to get this stuff. I'm maybe like on a regular monthly basis, maybe?
If only there was some sort of
like a service or
like something. A monthly subscription box.
Yeah.
That would fuel your geek needs.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's a good word to use.
I got a $1 million idea, guys.
What's that?
Thanks.
That's a monthly subscription box called Geek Fuel.
What? And where would you get that at?
Geekfuel.com/allofmyissues.
Yes.
All right. Well, my mind is blown right now. So
I'll give you $3 off.
$3
right now.
Whoa! You are blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, keep it up.
I don't know what to say. My world is upside down.
You had me at $3 off.
Yeah.
You had me at Geek Fuel.
At Geek Fuel, monthly subscription box full of awesome.
Buy it now.